to episode 360 of Awards Daily's Water Cooler Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Moy, and I'm joined by the other two M's. So M's, let's go around the cooler and tell the listeners who you are and where they can find you on the internet. Megan, you're rejoining us this week, so you can go first.
It's great to be back. I'm Megan McLaughlin, and you can find me on Twitter at HeyDudeMeg.
Joey, you're always here, so you go next.
I was like, God, I can't get rid of him. Hi, I'm Joey Moser. You can find me on Twitter at JoeyMoser83.
And again, I'm Clarence Moy. You can find me on Twitter at Clarence Moy. And I am trying to rescue myself from the tears, drowning in the tears that Joey is continuing to shed over the death of Betty White.
I know. I've got to read his obituary.
It was very good. Yes.
Oh, is it? I typed it up so fast. I was like, it's so hard to try to write about like somebody who A, means a lot to you, and B, is like she is television to me. So it was just sort of like, I'll try.
I think that sometimes when you just want things to come directly from the heart, those are the things when you write them the quickest, you write them fast. Mm-hmm. I think that those end up being the best pieces because you don't stress over the word choices. It just comes from within. It comes from somewhere else. And I've found that that often is the best. So sure. Anyway, yeah, I highly recommend it.
I can't wait to read it.
All right. So this week we are flashing back to the 90s, sort of in different ways. First of all, Yellow Jackets wraps its season one with this weekend with a season one finale. And Megan is going to take us down an analysis of that. So if you haven't watched it, if you don't watch Yellow Jackets, you might want to fast forward about 10 minutes because we will be spoiling some things now that it has been out for a couple of days. And Joey is then going to take us back to Woodsboro for the latest edition of Scream. The requel, I think is what they call it in the film itself, of the 1996 Wes Craven thriller. And we will wrap with the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Megan, what's the buzz? Tell us what's happening in Yellow Jacket land.
What isn't happening in Yellow Jacket land? That's more of the question. But so the finale, actually, I know like Showtime kind of follows a traditional format where they have the, you know, one episode a week, but they also released the episode on their Showtime app. So I know a lot of people like waited up till midnight to watch the episode 10. The season finale, which it has like a really crazy name too. I can't, it's like something Gloria. I can't find it right now.
In Excelsis Deo or something. Like
no,
that.
It's something. What is the, I will look it up. Anyway, it's got, an interesting, but,
Six Trains of Gloria Mundi.
That's it, babe. Thank you. So the finale, had a lot going on where, like the tension between Shauna and Jackie came to head, where, you know, Shauna is pregnant with Jeff's baby and Jackie had found out in the previous episode, I believe. They also are like waking up from their, shrooms stupor, and kind of, you know, how it got a little bit too far with, you know, Shauna trying to cut Travis and the Antler Queen Lottie trying to encourage everybody to kind of like she kind of just had everybody running amok. But so that's going on in the past, and then in the present day, the reunion, the 25th reunion at their high school is happening, and the girls are getting back together, even though it's kind of an anticlimactic reunion. And also they are taking care of Adam, a little guy named Adam, who Shauna in present day happened to kill.
Murder.
Yeah. We've talked briefly about this, but like through chat, but I guess I didn't really hear Clarence, like everything you thought about the episode, and I'm anxious to talk to you about it.
I really enjoyed the episode. I thought it was interesting for what it did and what it refused to do. Let me give some examples. It brought the four cast members, I think, together to, I guess for the first time this whole season, the adults in the modern day sequences, this is the first time they've been together. Maybe it was the tail end of episode 9, or was it at the beginning of 10? I think it in the beginning of this last episode, wasn't it? They bring them all together for the first time, and it's to dispose of Adam. And then they go to the prom, and you know, I'm sitting there watching
their reunion.
Their reunion. Not the prom, the 25th reunion. And I'm watching that reunion thinking somebody's going to show up. And in my mind, I was thinking the whole time, Jackie's going to show up because she's the specter that looms over this 25th reunion. They've got her picture up on on a projector. They're talking about her, and they're talking about, you know, the four survivors that are present at the reunion are superstars. I just felt like something was going to happen, and it doesn't go down that path. And I thought that was really interesting. On the flip side, it does something that I wasn't expecting, which is that it tells you what happens to Jackie.
Yes.
And I thought it was a risk because it is, and at one point, one of us, or maybe it was Jalal, I don't remember who it was, someone said they very likely tried to change the script seeing how Jackie was popping early in this series. But I think that this, what happens in this last episode, I'm wondering if wasn't always part of the original design, and they're running a little bit of a risk by taking someone who is intensely popular and showing definitively what happens to that person.
I read an interview that they only had her planned for one season. So I think it was written into the script. She is dead. She's not coming back. As I had said that, like, I thought maybe like one of the rituals would bring her back from the dead or something. And they'd play with, you know, I was desperate for Jackie to come back too, but she is dead. And I think that I was expecting her to come back at the 25th reunion too, but I also think what they do with what happens to her is the kind of risk that I wish shows like Succession would do by killing off Kendall. I'm glad that I really respect that they killed off Jackie, because I think that represents so much. When I thought about it, resting with this show for a little bit, when I thought about it, I realized it had to happen because she was kind of their only link to civilization at that point, where they were all kind of going all in on, you know, I mean, they were all running around trying to kill Travis and they were going wild, and Jackie was the only link to civilization at that point. And so I think for them to kill her off, it kind of had to happen, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I buy that completely. Joey, what did you think of it?
I think Megan and I had like a conversation where Megan, it was right after Megan saw the finale, and I was waiting for her to watch it. And because as soon as that screener came in, I was like watching that puppy like super fast. And because I remember messaging you both separately, just all in capital letters, like, Yellow Jacket finale. And then I watched it, and I sort of, what happens to Jackie, Megan had all these theories, because Megan is like the Alice in Wonderland, fell down a rabbit hole, everything about it. She's the person you should go to for your Yellow Jackets theories and or questions, because she is fucking on it.
I've stayed up every night last week reading the Reddit theories. I've read every interview Ashley Lau and Bart Nickerson have done too.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I remember I know Megan was just like, well, what if she's not dead? And I was like, but why wouldn't she be dead? And she was like, she's like, but she, and I do agree with you. It was like, she is the face of all the like, you know, the initial marketing, like her face on all the posters and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I think it's sort of they sort of got lucky with how much the audience was so drawn to her, because it makes her death more devastating. And it makes it like, it sort of raises the stakes in a weird way, that it's also just like one of the first, other than like, you know, the girl who blew up on an airplane who we didn't really get to know all that much. She's like of the main sort of prominent characters, she's the first one to sort of die.
Yes.
And I feel like it sort of shows that the show could have, it clearly has a definitive path. It's not spinning its wheels. It's not, I saw an article saying that Yellow Jackets isn't a mystery box show where it like introduces an answer to a mystery, but then it introduces a whole bunch of other questions. Like that show, the show isn't doing that. And then other stuff in the finale, I was like floored by, but we haven't really talked about it yet.
Like Tawny Cypress's.
I think that is.
That
so much
she's like my new favorite character. Just for I've been waiting for something because the whole time I liked her, but I felt like there's something missing. There's something missing with her character. Like, and then now it all came together with that scene with her wife discovering the altar.
The look on her face that is sort of near the end of the episode before the huge reveal comes at the end. Of the camera going in closer to her face and the like sort of grimace that like crawls across her face is so unsettling. And it's so, it's such a, like a great reveal. It's so good.
Yeah. Ugh. And I know a lot of people, I was, you know, in my Yellow Jackets groups are like, nothing happened. It was boring. I'm like, so much fucking happened. Like we learned that she's sacrificing, you know, the Thai sacrificed her dog to win an election. Then there's Misty, who, you know, killed Jessica Roberts. That's pretty huge. And, you know, and I also want to say, like, Melanie Lynskey, when they're, you know, basically sawing up Adam in the tub, and she just looks so almost comfortable doing it. Like, just like, got to get this done. I have to give her like major credit for just like the way she, I don't know. She's just an amazing actress period, but she just looks like, oh, this is annoying. I have to get this done. And they all look like that. And I know some people are like, well, that seems unrealistic. I'm like, well, not if you're in the wild, like, and you've dealt with shit. They're used to this. And that tells you so much. Like,
yeah, I love how they ask her. You remember how to do this, right? She's like, oh, yeah. Like it was, you know.
She said, like riding a bicycle. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Some of the people that have like criticisms of this show, it's sort of just like, it was like, oh, I'm sorry. Do you not know like the situations that these characters are in? Oh, okay. Are you too busy like talking about, you know, the, you know, stupid shit on Twitter about like licorice pizza and stuff? Oh, your life is so hard.
Well, even like the theories I had about like, you know, wanting Jackie to live and stuff. And I know Clarence and I both thought she was going to be at that reunion. Mm-hmm. But then I realized if she was at that reunion, then they backed themselves into a corner, you know, in the season two. How are they going to get out of it? Like, I really trust that they know what they're doing and that they're like peeling back these layers. Even the fact that like one of my big things I was worried about was that, you know, that notebook of what Jackie wants to do when she grows up, like, or like characters that she loves or whatever. And she had like characters from like 1999 in there. And so people were like, oh, is this just a prop issue? Well, I found out that that was on purpose, that they did do that on purpose, and that there's meaning behind it that we'll learn later on. So I trust in their process. I think that they're very smart about it. And, even though I guess somebody did catch that Adam's license plate was the same as Misty's and they were freaking out about that. And that was a mistake, but
my Lord,
I know. Right. But I mean, but that's a little bit more minor than like the notebook that they did like stay on with that scene. So
there's Titanic reference in there too.
Yeah. There's like a Titanic reference in there too. So I think that they know what they're doing and I'm really excited to see like, where the fact that they have an end game is so exciting because like, you know, the comparisons to Lost didn't know what the fuck they were doing. It was just like, let's see what happens. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And that's it. Like, oh, you want me to play around with this? Okay. Like they were just fucking leading us on.
Yes.
Everyone's reaction to this is a very specific reference, but you know, the episode where, Homer on The Simpsons becomes, you know, an actor on Itchy and Scratchy, and he meets the woman who does the voices of Itchy and Scratchy, and like somebody asks, you know, they go to like a convention or a Q&A, and he's like, can you tell me about episode 4GF12? We're blah 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 blah. That's everyone on Twitter being like,
yeah, this is it.
Yeah, it's like, shut up, sit down.
I think about that woman daily because almost every day I think about that Homer's question. Is this live? And she goes, no, son, that would be a terrible strain on the animator's wrists. I think about that every day, and I don't know
why. I think about that quote, too. That's so funny.
Unrelated, but did you notice that in the poster with Jackie for Yellow Jackets, that in her eye you could see the Antler Queen silhouette?
Yes, yeah.
I just noticed that recently.
I noticed that for a while, but...
I noticed it when I put the banner on the Facebook ADTV page for a little bit. I needed something else to put there, and I put that on the banner, and I was like, oh, yep, there you go. There's
super creepy
Adler Queen. Well, you know, at first I was very disappointed that Screen Actors Guild did not pick up on Yellow Jackets for any nominations, although I think it might have been a bit unrealistic to think that they would, considering they don't, Screen Actors Guild generally, unless it's something that has been out for a while, they generally don't pick up on new shows. Famously, they've only nominated Succession this first time in season three, but they did pick up on stuff like The Crown, which I think is a little bit different because it's, you know, they're that's more of their bread and butter, that sort of masterpiece theatery stuff. But Writers Guild came in for Yellow Jackets, so I think that's a good sign that's of some broad acceptance.
What do you think? Like, I do think it'll be a player at the Emmys, but
do
I do. Do you?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I do. I think, I think it's got that enormous buzz, and I think people are just gonna, you know, for better or for worse, I think people are going to continue doing what Joey mentioned earlier, which is trying to figure out that go down those rabbit holes, go down those Reddit pages, you know, find the puzzles in a puzzle box kind of thing for the next 6 months. And I think it's going to keep it in the conversation. I would argue. I think Melanie Lynskey, Christina Ricci, the show, the writing, potentially the directing, those are all still contenders.
Yeah, I think so too. I see you have her. I know that Jalal was like, Clarence put her at the top of the list for drama actress. And I was very excited to see that.
I did that because he asked me to. Oh. He's like, we should do something crazy like that. And I'm like, okay, that sounds good. yeah, I mean, I do think, you know, I don't know who else there is to have in the first slot, except for maybe Zendaya for
Euphoria.
That show, Euphoria, thank you, which I don't watch, but I know based on Twitter, Twitter loves it.
I can't tell, though, whether Twitter loves that or Yellow Jackets more. I felt like they were going head-to-head Sunday night. It was kind of interesting to see, like, what was trending and, like, basically how it's about to, you know, ideas of teenage girls. It's very interesting that, like, that was what the two, like, big shows were on Sunday. And I know, and some go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, and yet no one is talking about Righteous Gemstones.
Right, I know, and I've been wanting to come back to that because I didn't hate the first season, and I do love Adam Devine, and it has such a great cast. And of course your guy, what's his name?
Walton Goggins.
Yes. Yeah. He's great too.
I did, just very quickly on that, I did watch the first episode. It's almost an hour, because I wondered if, like with Vice Principals, if they would somehow find their footing, and it would be a lot better of a show once they had their characters established. And I did like the first episode quite a bit. I think it's when you see it, tell me what you think, but I think it plays in really interesting ways with kind of being the comic version of Succession.
Oh, okay. So, well, I think I also need to accept that show is not going to be a parody of, like, evangelical. Religion. Yeah. And that's what I was expecting going into it, but it's really very straightforward.
It is, although I would say it starts to veer a little bit into parody this year because they introduced a couple of new characters that I don't know. Let's all watch it. Let's all absorb it, and then we'll come back to it because I think it's a bit unfair for me to start talking about it and you guys haven't seen it. Anything else on Yellow Jackets?
One more thing. I do think that it is peaking at a right time. And I know people might say no, but I think that after this, people are going to seek it out. And I think that the buzz, so to speak, will build through. I think this has legs is what basically what I'm saying. People, the mysteries have been like kind of planted. And I think that especially if they're planning on having the season two roll out before the end of the year, which is what their plans are, I think that, and I'm wondering if Netflix will pick up and like show the first season or something, which I think would be really helpful. And if that's the case, then look out. That's what I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think they have to have seven or eight titles for a drama series. And right now there's probably one Succession. So, you know, I think it definitely will show up there based on what we know now.
It's the show that when someone asks you like, oh, what's a good show for me to start? Everyone is saying Yellow Jacket.
Yes. Yeah. That is certainly what I've been saying.
Even though I told my mom about it, she's like, oh no, I don't want to watch that.
But you know, it's not, I mean, there are,
it is graphic.
There are five or six scenes of that are fairly graphic, but it's not like when you hear about these girls, you know, the general plot is these girls get lost and then they become cannibals. It's not like that. It's not what you imagine it to be. That is, it is less of a gore fest than it is a human story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's theories out there that they're not even cannibals, too. That's another theory.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Ask me about my theories.
Yes. If you're looking for the Megan McLaughlin Yellow Jacket support group, that is on line 3. All right. Let's segue over to the world of cinema, not to sound too pretentious. Joey, why don't you tell us about the latest incarnation of Scream?
Sure. So the new Scream came out this last weekend, 25 years after the first one dropped in 96, since Wes Craven has died. A couple years ago, this one is directed by Matt Bettinelli Ulpin and Tyler Gillett, who directed probably most famously Ready or Not. So this is a sort of reboot / sequel or requel, as the movie interestingly introduces that terminology. It is basically about a string of murders happening in Wardsboro. And, you know, the three main survivors, Sidney Prescott, Gail Weathers, and Dewey Riley, Dewey still lives in Woodsboro, but Dewey keeps telling that poor bastard who's leading a really sad life. He tells Gail and Sidney not to come back because the killer will come after them. There is a connection between, the new Sidney, she plays Sam Carpenter, played by Melissa Barrera. She comes back to town because her sister, played by Jenna Ortega, is attacked in the first scene, but survives. And Ghostface comes back to kill everyone in an incredibly brutal fashion. So it's this like sort of incredibly self-referential, overly winky sort of new entry that it's supposed to sort of reboot the franchise, continue the franchise, blah, 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 blah. I want to see it again because I personally had a really great experience in the theater watching it. I had a lot of fun. Like every single, it was like gayer than a bathhouse on a Saturday night. There were so many gay guys at my screening. There was a point where like I went before I went in to sit down finally to see the movie. I like was walking to the bathroom and there was like a gaggle of gays. We're all, you know, wearing Ghostface shirts and Drew Barrymore shirts. And they're like, the first time I walked by, they were like, oh my God, we can't find a timeshare anywhere. And like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh God, stupid gays. And then I came back, I walked back past them and they were still there. And they were just like, oh my God, we found the cutest little wine bar. I was like, oh, stupid queers. And I went and I had my seat. I want to see it again because I had a really great time watching it. but I feel like I have a lot of questions / concerns with this one. Megan and I had a whole conversation about it, and then I wonder, I'm not sure if I still feel the same way as everything that I had a conversation with Megan, and then I don't know if I felt the same way the first time. I don't know. I want to see it again, because it is, like, one of my favorite franchises of all time. I do not think that when I was like, it's the best one since the first one, I was like, sit down, shut up. No, it's not.
I think our bars are just low right now because we're all living in a pandemic. That's my theory.
I think that's part of it for sure. I think there's a whole generation of younger moviegoers who are taking this on as their Scream because it has people who they know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that's part of it. I think they don't necessarily want to say, oh no, it's not as good. It's, you know, no, the original that was made when I was 3 or not even born was definitely better than this. No, they want to have this thing that is their own. I mean, you know, I took my kids to see it. They both liked it quite a bit. My son, it was so funny though, and I don't mean to pick on him. Not that he ever listens to this. I don't mean to pick on him about this, but he came out and said, you know, I thought it was really funny how they revisited the concepts of the original and then they kind of made it, like, you know, winky and super meta, and they talked about horror, and I'm like, yeah, but you've only seen the first one, and that's what all of them do. That hasn't changed. You just haven't seen 2 through 4.
This one just does it, and that's all it does. Like, it doesn't even play with the idea of, like, you know, I don't know. It doesn't. I felt like the other ones were more about, like, the story, the history of, you know, why people were motivated to do this. And this one's just like, I don't know. I found it lazy. I found this one very lazy.
I kind of did too. I had a really good time watching it. And I will say, even though I'm going to be a little bit critical here, I will say the Scream series is probably almost like horror series royalty, because name a horror or thriller series that has 5 entries and they have kept this level of quality in all 5. Now, of course, not all of them are as good as some of the others, but they are all at least of a quality level. There is no complete stinker here, I don't think. I wouldn't even, you know, but, you know, they, so I will say there's a lot of care that goes into the series, and they're all fairly uniformly good. This is probably one of my least favorite. I can't decide if I like this or 4 least. I do feel like it's repetitive of some of the themes in 4, although it is not exactly the same. The killer's motivation is not exactly the same, but there is one point at which one of the killers is like, I just want to be a star. And I'm like, oh God, not again.
Right.
And, you know, there's some jokes in there to catch. Certainly there's a conversation about Stab 8. Stab is, of course, the film within the film, Stab 8, where the guy that directed Knives Out tried to make his own thing and everybody hated him because of it. And they're clearly talking about Star Wars, The Last Jedi and Rian Johnson. But, I think it's ultimately, I will say, after thinking about it for a couple of days since I saw it Thursday night, I think it's a film that's at war with itself, because it wants to honor the Sidney Prescott, the Gale Weathers, and the Dewey of the original films, but it also wants to introduce this new cast, and I think it gives both a short change. Sidney feels like she's never in it. I think she needed more material. I thought Gale and Dewey was fine. I thought they had a good amount. And you know, whatever what happens between them is feels right and just and well handled. But then you've got, like, these new characters, like the new sheriff. You've got all these new kids, and really
the new Sam. Samantha. I mean, Sam Carpenter.
Right.
Which is never explained why she wants to be called Sam.
No idea.
She says that for everybody she meets.
I just think that they don't give them as much attention as perhaps they should have to make me want to go back and anxiously anticipate Scream 6.
I hope they do not make any more Screams. I hope this will be the last 100% one.
100% going to.
But if they do it, don't do it with this cast. Like, this was not one.
They have set up a whole narrative over there's going to be another killer and everybody's going to think that it's Sam, because she's the daughter of a serial killer, and it's probably going to end up that it is her because she got all turned on by Steph.
I wish she was. That was my big problem with it is like they spell out who the killer is within the first like half hour. And it's like, okay, like even Dewey says who the killer is. And it's like, okay, well, that can't be because that's too obvious. And then it is obvious.
Not to pat myself on the back, but I got one of them just from the trailer.
Really? Like, I didn't quite know who was going to be the killer, but I knew it was probably going to be one of these fuckheads. And it was. And I just kind of was like, that's so boring. It's so boring. Like, if you're going to do this a fifth time, you've got to do something different. And I feel like I don't care about the Sam character. I poor Melissa Barrera. She was in The Heights. This is like strike two for her with me. I'm just like, I didn't like that one. I don't like this one. I think Jack Quaid actually does a good job in this. Mm-hmm. But I also was like, the other thing that really bugged me was that like the callbacks to other characters, which I guess is cool, but like Heather Matarazzo is the mother of the twins, Mindy and what was his name? I can't remember the other boy, Chad. And I was like, oh, I didn't know Heather Matarazzo, how old she is. She's like, she's our age, Joey. The kids are, in real life, Jasmine Savoy Brown is 27. And I was like, it just didn't make any sense. I was like, I don't know. A lot of it, I know that's like nitpicky stuff, but I just felt like, so how old was Heather Matarazzo? I don't know. How old is she supposed to be? I would like to have learned more about those back characters, background character. I mean, I know that's hard because you're trying to focus this on the new ones, but even like the fact that Sam's mother had an affair or got pregnant and we don't even meet the mom. Like that would have been really cool. That would actually grounded it more and made it more interesting.
I think they're trying to set that up for the second one. I think it was pretty obvious that they're probably going to do that for the second one. I actually think, I kind of wish there was, I don't know, if you're going to do like an entirely new trilogy, I kind of want them to do something different where, say you don't find out who the killer is until the third movie. Just make it like a whole, make it sort of like a strung along thing. I don't know. I kind of wish if you're going to make them about characters who were callbacks to original movies, like the original trio, like Heather Matarazzo, like even Marley Shelton from the fourth movie being the sheriff. Maybe have a ghost face killing people in different areas of the country. I don't know. Make them go after all the people that, I don't know, globe trotting. I don't know, like wear the mask in an airport. But I mean, you know, like, I don't know.
The original idea for Scream 3 was that Stu was going to be in jail and he had concocted like all of this cult of like, that's more interesting than this. This was just
the original ending of Scream, the Kevin Williamson entry allegedly was that victims who died in the third movie were going to be, I don't know where they were going to be. Maybe it was always going to be at that mansion in the third movie. But they were all going to like be at the house and they were all going to rise up and they weren't actually dead, that they all did it as a, you know, a huge ruse to drive Sydney insane. And then it was going to even include characters from like some of the other movies, which I would have thought that would have been crazy and stupid.
Well, even I think it's funny that like in this one, it's like who killed, who was the killer in the first stab, you know? And they're like, oh, it's,
Billy Loomis.
Yeah. But I'm like, well, technically, yeah. But if we're looking at the Charles Manson of it all, it's really Noel from Felicity. They don't even acknowledge Scream 3, which I'm like, are we not acknowledging it at all? Like, I don't know. I feel like they should because I don't know. It just bugged me that they didn't even entertain that.
Well, the other thing that bugged me about this latest Scream is that it's set up to be they're killing people related to the original characters.
Yes.
And that's like the first two or three killings. But then all of a sudden, random people started dying. And I'm just like, why?
Yeah.
You know, just it was interesting to have connections to the past. And if you were really going to be a reboot/sequel, then the, all the murders should, yeah, then all the murders should have had something to do with the past. But when they, there's one character who dies that I was just like, okay, then you're going off the rails. Your justification is gone and you kind of lost me a little bit there.
Which one can you say?
Well, I don't want to, it's the one in the shower that was in the shower.
Okay. And got it.
That's where I was like, oh, you're going to do like, I mean, there's a shock value there for sure.
Right.
But I was like, okay, but why? Why did you feel like you had to do that?
Right. Yeah.
I do think ultimately though, I do think, it's sort of what you alluded to earlier, like a movie that is like low on the Scream totem pole is higher than a lot of other, horror, but like, I would rather watch this than fucking Halloween.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at the original Halloween series, by the time you got to Halloween 5, it was a nightmare. It was a total joke. And this hasn't gotten there yet. I think they do take care. I just don't particularly like this direction, but that's okay. I still recognize it as a well-made film.
I wonder to a certain degree, how much. This isn't a criticism of the movie necessarily, but sort of a criticism of the time. Just more of a curious thing. Like, I don't know. Like, they don't make slasher movies like this anymore, really. Mm-hmm. Like they do with the only ones they do are the ones they revive, like a Michael Myers. Like, I think they've been trying to redo Friday the 13th again. You know, where it's not sort of like a zombie kind of killer, but. They don't make a slasher movie where you find out who the killer is really at the end of every movie. They haven't done that since the early 2000s almost. And I'm wondering, not necessarily what the relevance is, but sort of if it's trying to hold on too much to something that people just aren't familiar with as much anymore. Like, it could come back, blah, 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 blah. But I don't know. I kept thinking that the whole time I was watching it.
I think that they, if they do make a sequel, they really need to divorce themselves from the Gale Weathers, from the Sydney, and from the Dewey, and just really stand on their own. Like, you can't have Neve Campbell coming in there every time and like, is she going to die? No, she's not going to die because Sydney can't ever die. You know, it's
and she just looked bored. Both of them looked so bored at the end.
Yeah.
Well, like the part where they're standing outside the house and they're like, oh, there they are. Like when the girl runs out and is like screaming and stuff, they do sort of just like, all right, like if they do another one, like at least give those two, like the main three, like give them a break.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like, yeah.
The other thing. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I was pissed off when, like, Sam, like, totally disses them at one point. Is like, I don't, I'm not listening to you. I want to be like, it's Sydney Prescott, for Christ's sake. Like, are you fucking kidding me that you're going to not listen to her? And at that point, I was like, oh, she has to be the villain because I hate this bitch. And then she still wasn't, like, no, spoiler alert. But it's like she's still supposed to be our protagonist. And I was like, I really wanted her to turn on because I thought, I really don't like this character. And I thought, how could you disrespect either one of those women who's trying to save your life?
I will. Something that actually really pissed me off. I'm mad at how they cut the trailer to make me think that the line was, hello, Sydney, it's an honor. I was so mad.
Yes, right.
The line is in there, but it's a spoiler. It's not said to Sydney Prescott, and that really bothered me. And there is a stupid continuity thing that's in the movie that really also, it shouldn't bother me because I'm a fucking nerd and I know it off the top of my head, but in Scream 4, they said that Sydney Prescott threatened to sue after Stab 3, but in this movie, she said Sydney Prescott is in all of the Stab movies, and it bothers me. You're going to make a movie with all this reverence and all these things, and then you sort of have a stupid script detail that just flew under the radar.
Also, I kind of hated the fact that the thing that I loved about Scream was always that they who's going to die first in the opening scene. You know, that's like the thing. And then they don't do it. How could you not do that?
Yeah, that was odd. But it's complicated to talk about it without giving spoilers.
Right, yeah.
The last thing I'll say is, you know, if you're going to, I think it's a good idea to bring in, you know, obviously with Wes Craven having passed away, it's a good idea to bring in newer generation of horror directors. And I really like Ready or Not.
Me too.
But if you go back and look at Ready or Not, it has, it is scary, and it has a humor, it has a pulse, it's unexpected. These, you know, it's just, you have no idea what's going to happen. This whole thing, all of that is missing from this. And the, if you're going to give a new generation of horror director a property like Scream, let them make their own movie. Let them do what they want to do with this material. Bring in the guy from Your Next. Your Next is a fantastic slasher.
Oh, that movie's so scary.
That is one of the best slasher films of the last 20 years.
It's so scary, yeah. So good.
So they, you know, they should just bring in these people, not just to direct a script that you have corporatized to within an inch of its life. Let them form their own product based on these characters and see what happens. It'll be okay. They're very talented people. Don't just give them this prefab script and say that you have to direct this, because I felt like it's just the finished product just lacked everything that I thought they were going to bring.
Yeah, I 100%, and I think you're probably right that it, I mean, even look at, like I said, look at Nev and Courtney at the end of the film, which just looked like, okay, like, where's my paycheck? Like, not that they phoned it in, they did great, but it was just kind of like, we're exhausted, like, and give them a break and let them do something else.
Yeah, I mean, Courtney Cox is almost 60, so she does not need to be in this stuff anymore.
Oh, she could do whatever she wants.
She totally can do whatever she wants.
Doesn't matter if she's 60 or not.
No, I know. It's just, she's just...
She's probably tired of this.
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. What else can she bring to Gale Weathers that hasn't already been done over 5 years now?
Yeah. Boy, she looks good for 57 years old.
Yeah, thank God she's not on And Just Like That.
How dare you? How dare you?
All right. Anything else we want to talk about with Scream? Actually, there's one thing I'll say. I have been reluctant to start a podcast series that is hosted by a friend of ours, because I just, you know, I didn't want to get down that rabbit hole. But I might have to listen to the latest about this film, because I've seen some tweets that are like, it's a masterpiece, everything is A+, except for a couple of things here and there. And I just felt like I saw a different film, and I really would love to hear from someone who clearly has intelligence and passion for this film series, you know, basically save this in my mind.
I've already gotten into arguments with friends. Joey was defending it. He loved it.
That's interesting. We'll have to have a discussion, because he and I bitched about a lot of the same stuff.
No, because he said, "Did you like it?" And I was like, "No, I did not like it." I was also in a theater where they did not have the heat on, and it was 20 degrees.
Oh my God.
So I had my hat and gloves on.
Why did you see that?
I know. But not that made it. I mean, I was interested in the story, but I was also like halfway through, I'm like, oh, well, here's where they're going. What's this? Okay.
And it's all right. Let's move on to the flash forward to the media we're most anticipating in the upcoming week. And let's do a quick fire round. Megan, go.
Sure. So I started watching Dope Sick, which is really good. Oh. And I'm going to keep watching it. And I have screeners to Inventing Anna, which is the new Julia Garner show, the series on Netflix. And I've enjoyed that. Also, Anna Klumsky's in it. And Anders Holm from Workaholics. Love him. And also, I'm excited to watch Bridget Everett's new show. I really love her. And I know, like, I didn't love her show on Amazon, Love You More, I remember. But I love her. And that's why she's great on Camping too. So she's got that show. What is it called? It's Somebody Somewhere. And so that sounds really interesting. And I would like to find time to see that, or watch that, start that. I'm trying to think of anything else. Just listening to, I think I still have some podcasts to listen that I've been listening to, the normal stuff. I'm trying to think of anything else. That's probably about it for right now.
Joey.
When I catch up on Euphoria, Dope Sick, somebody somewhere said you love her too. Everyone should go watch Patty Cakes. She's amazing in that. Not going to let that go. And I want to watch Archive 81. And then there's a horror movie that I saw at New Fest that is actually playing at a theater here now. It is a horror movie called The Scary of 61st, about two roommates who discover that the Upper East Side apartment that they are living in used to belong to Jeffrey Epstein.
Ooh.
It's called The Scary of 61st. I'll send you the trailer. I watch it. It's like the short little creepy movie, but I watched it like late at night because it was a virtual festival, and it was like so weird and so interesting. And I want to watch it again. I would love to see it on the big screen because it was like such a weird, strange, specific type of movie. And I want to see it again.
Oh, I forgot one more thing. I forgot that the Sundance is this weekend, so I am excited for that too. Yes.
Virtual anyway. Sundance.
Yes. Sorry, continue.
Joey, were you done?
Yep.
All right. So very quickly, I want to catch up on And Just Like That. I have my wife and I are rewatching. She's watching it for the first time. Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, I just watched that with my parents on Sunday.
I am also. I need to watch the screeners for Inventing Anna. I have watched four of the five screeners that I've received for The Gilded Age. And book wise, I do have one book. I'm wrapping up a book that is. I'm going to mispronounce the author's name. I think it's Zoji Stage, a newish horror writer. She wrote a book that I read a couple of years ago called Baby Teeth, about a mother who basically has a bad seed child. She's a very exciting horror writer. This book got me. Has me having all the emotions. Not it's not sad. It's some dark things happen in it, and I get really upset, very anxious when some things happen. I do recommend it. It's called Wonderland. Sorry, I guess I didn't say the title. It's called Wonderland. Came out in 2020. It's about a woman and her family who go to live in the woods so that her husband can become an artist. And so it's a little bit Shining, I will say.
Ooh.
So I do.
I've been wanting to read Baby Teeth. I like the cover of the book. I know that sounds so stupid, but
Baby Teeth is fan fucking tastic.
Fantastic. I'm gonna put that on my list.
Yes, yeah, I loved that book. Yeah, definitely read that. All right. So does that cover it?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get the hell out of here. So we are at the 3M's contributors, Joey Moser, Megan McLaughlin, and me, Clarence Moy, thanking you for joining us, asking you to remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find us, and wishing you a very pleasant tomorrow.